I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS On Air's Art Cashin on the Markets podcast. Each week, we do like to touch base with Art Cashin to get his take on timely market-related developments. Art Cashin is the Director of Floor Operations for UBS at the New York Stock Exchange. So, Art, I know it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. It's great to be with you again, and thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Art, I know it's been somewhat of a roller coaster week for the markets, and this seems to be amid some fresh U.S.-China trade developments. Can you bring us up to speed a bit as far as where we currently stand there and speak a bit to what has contributed to the volatility and where these negotiations currently stand?
Well, it's a slightly complicated picture. Right after Thanksgiving, or right around Thanksgiving, the U.S. Senate and House passed by very wide margins some bills that seem to, at least in the view of China, support the demonstrators in Hong Kong. The bill actually was to have the U.S. monitor what the situation in Hong Kong was relative to civil rights and freedoms. And China saw that as some interference in their private relationship with Hong Kong, which they consider to be a colony. And so with the pushback from China, there immediately were fears that the trade talks would blow up over this political move, and that put the market under pressure. Then the president added to that when he, with an offhand remark, said, you know, it might make even more sense to let the deal wait until after the election. Now, that was partly a negotiating ploy to, warn the Chinese, if you keep delaying, you may wind up in a less favorable position than you are right now. And that was also seen as a possible attempt to market time the deal so that he could get the maximum impact going into election. You know, if he does a deal right now and the market spikes and then pulls back, you know, it's 10 months plus till his election. Ideally, he could use a market rally in April or May, which would have the staying power. So that also contributed to the volatility. Then Wednesday morning at 4 a.m., Bloomberg headlined that the talks were actually going reasonably well, despite the rhetoric of both sides yelling at each other or appearing to yell at each other. And that reversed the futures sharply higher. The Dow shot up 200 or more points. And then the president added to it with another off-the-cuff remark saying, actually, the talks are going reasonably well. And so that prompted buying, and that regained a portion of what we had lost in a three-day sell-off. Then the middle of Wednesday, there were stories around that Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, might get involved in the negotiation. The financial media saw Kushner as a kind of closer, that his involvement would mean that we're getting down to the details, and he's getting involved to help close things up. So that added to the rally. Then, unfortunately, stocks ran into some resistance around the levels of Tuesday's low. They tried to break through it again this morning and were unable. And that's why we're having a little bit of a pullback. But as you aptly said, it's been a terribly volatile period, and we're still subject to whatever comment comes out from either the president or any of the Chinese leadership.
Okay, well, a lot has clearly happened over the course of the past 2 weeks, so appreciate you step by step bringing us up to speed on what's occurred and how we got to where we are today. Good news, it sounds like dialogue is continuing, yet you still have some unknowns as far as when a deal might be signed, but more to come there. We'll continue to keep in touch on that. I do also want to shift focus over to this week's NATO summit, which took place in London. Can you speak to some key takeaways that you picked up on?
Well, it didn't have any significant market impact, but the interesting thing was that Trump proceeded to take on both Macron of France and Trudeau of Canada. He threatened because taxes that France is proposing to put on some of our social media and other tech stocks, that he was going to put tariffs on champagne and French cheeses and maybe even handbags and the like. And that got him into a bit of a nose-to-nose with Macron. And then Trudeau made an off mic, or I should say he spoke into a mic that was still on and made some comments slightly divisive about Trump and the long-running press conferences. So that, unfortunately, could cause some problem. You know, the NAFTA replacement, we were hoping to get that approved. Originally, Nancy Pelosi said she might do it. After Trump went after Trudeau, she talked about possibly reopening the pact and making some later adjustments. So that's not having a large market impact, but it's extending the possibility for ratification, and it makes for a tougher market.
Sticking with politics for a moment, Art, just to stay current, I know this morning, a couple of hours ago, as we were recording this on Thursday, we did hear that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi provided the okay for the drafting of impeachment articles against President Trump. Has there been any notable market response to this development, which I know you and I have spoken about?
Yeah, no, Dan, they're looking at it. There is some concern, but it has not been a direct market mover. They assumed she was in a position where she pretty much have to do that. The question as to whether there's market movement, there don't appear to be many defections among the Republicans. So that tells the market that it's highly unlikely that the president will be convicted in the Senate, and therefore it should have little to no market influence. At least that's the way they're playing it right now.
Okay, appreciate that color there, Art. I know macro-wise, we will receive tomorrow the November jobs numbers, but if we look across the entire week, what macro data points were of interest to you? What can you recap for us?
Well, I think the big thing that we saw this week was a rally in crude. It may be the Saudis trying to pretty things up in front of the Aramco deal, but that was the main event. A lot of the short-term economic data was distorted by the Thanksgiving holiday, and all the reports didn't come in. So it was eventful. The primary thing was the trade deals, and we'll start again next week as the deadlines start to get closer.
And then one final question, Art. What's taking place next week that you will be keeping an eye on?
Well, as usual, the trade negotiations, we're moving very, very close to that December 15th tariff deadline, and the markets will pay very careful attention. So any minor comment, the closer we get, will have an outsized impact.
Okay, well, Art Cashin, it was great to catch up with you. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Thank you for keeping us informed as far as what's happening in the markets and what's been moving the markets over the past week. And hope you have a nice weekend. We'll look forward to speaking with you again next Thursday.
I thank you, and I hope everyone out there has a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Art. Appreciate that. And again, we have been joined by Art Cashin, Director of Floor Operations for UBS at the New York Stock Exchange. And this has been another installment of UBS On Air's Art Cashin on the Markets podcast. From the UBS On Air studio in New York City, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.